Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
I want you to look at somebody beside you and just tell them these simple words, Jesus redeems. Now say it like you believe it to somebody else now. Jesus redeems. So we're continuing our sermon series, He is Risen. And we've been looking at these resurrection encounters between the disciples and Jesus and what it means for our lives as His disciples now. Because that's who we are. That's who we've been called to be. So we're going to pick up right where we left off. Actually going to overlap just a little bit. Last week we left off, Jesus is having breakfast on the beach with the disciples. After they caught nothing, then He provides 153 large fish. And then they come on the shore, and Jesus is already cooking breakfast, but He says, bring some of your fish anyway. Because Jesus doesn't need any good deed that we can do, but He wants us to participate in His ministry to change the world, to redeem the lives of His people. So today we're going to be back in John's Gospel, the 21st chapter. That is on page 883 if you have one of the pew Bibles. And I'm going to be picking up with verse 9. So if you can and are able, I invite you to stand as we honor and we show reverence to the gospel this morning. Verse 9. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though they were so many, the nets were not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to His disciples after He was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time He said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because He said to him a third time, do you love me? And He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to identify the kind of death by which He would glorify God. After this, He said to him, follow me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, comfort us, challenge us, and convict us so that we can grow into the disciples you would have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus redeems. So we're picking up right where we left off. And I did overlap a little bit because I wanted you to hear the words that as they approach, Jesus is cooking. Didn't say in an oven, did it? It said on a charcoal fire. And I know what you're thinking. Well, how else is He going to cook? He's got to have something. The Greek that is translated. Thank you, Miss Ruby. Miss Ruby prayed me through that class. But the Greek there that is being used, translated to charcoal fire, is used twice in the New Testament. It's used when Peter warmed himself and denied the Savior. He was at a charcoal fire. And now here he comes up on the beach, and Jesus has a charcoal fire going. So I started thinking this week, have you ever done something, you got in trouble, and you knew you were going to have to wait to answer to a different person? Let me give you a good example. So last night I get home. I hadn't been home. I hadn't hardly talked to the kids. I hadn't seen anybody. I've been in class. I've been busy. And I get home, and Stacy meets me at the door, and Anna Claire's so excited to see her daddy, which that didn't influence me at all. So I go running in almost with tears, and then Logan's, "What's wrong?" "Mom, you tell him." He had gotten in trouble earlier in the day and was afraid to tell me that he had gotten in. So he had this anxiety, right? He couldn't even enjoy the fact that I was home because he was worried. I think while we were sitting at breakfast, Peter probably didn't have much of an appetite. Because here's the Savior. He knows he's failed him. He knows he's denied him. And he's staring into a charcoal fire the same way he did that night. I wonder if Peter wasn't thinking about the struggle that he had been carrying around since they crucified his friend. I wonder if Peter was maybe haunted by that ghost in his past of not staying true to his word. I wonder if Peter felt bound up by his failures. I wonder if he thought, how long is this emptiness, this pain, this heartache gonna last? You see, here's the beauty of Jesus. Hear this carefully. Sometimes before we can receive the redemptive work of Christ, we have to stand in front of the same fires that failed him. Sometimes before we can experience redemption, we must stand in front of the sin that separated us from him in the first place. It's not fun to talk about, is it? See, we're probably not looking into a charcoal fire where we deny Jesus. We might be looking into the bitterness in our life, the anger, the alcoholism, the addiction to pills and drugs, which has taken over our country. I don't know if y'all know that or not. The broken marriage. See, we don't stare into fire. We stare into our own ghosts and demons, don't we? And we can't get past that fire. Jesus knows if you walk around that fire, you're never going to address it. But if you want me to redeem you, let's stand face to face and let's look over this fire and I'll overcome it. So before Jesus can redeem whatever that is, whether it be depression, heartache, broken relationships, you know what Christ says you have to do before you can be forgiven? He says you have to forgive. That's not written anywhere. Somebody needs to forgive somebody. That's all I'm saying. Before you can truly be redeemed in Christ, you may need to forgive somebody else. But I want you to hear this. Peter's redemption didn't just start that day. I want to take you to Mark chapter 16, his account of the resurrection. And for those of you doing the reading plan, Mark doesn't give you much time for details, does he? Well, he's just straight to the point. Boom, here it is, 16 chapters. Have a nice day. He's done with it. So here's what he says, starting in verse 6. But he said to them, he's talking about the angel, right? Because they show up and the tomb's like it's rolled away and the angel's sitting there. And he says, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Praise God. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Go and tell the disciples and Peter. I don't think Jesus is taking a shot at Peter. I think he's saying, don't forget to include Peter, because Peter needs to hear, I'm coming back to him, because he knew the grief that Peter had. And Peter and Andrew and you put your name in there. Our redemptive work was started on the cross, and the victory was won when the grave was empty. That's where our redemption starts. Jesus has not even spoke to the disciples yet, and he says, tell Peter. Tell them all, but tell Peter. Don't tell Peter. It's important he uses his name. He's going ahead to Galilee. Where are they having breakfast? By the Sea of Galilee. Isn't that amazing? They say the Bible's not interesting. They're having breakfast where Jesus told them he would see them and he's going to do some work in their lives. Simon, son of John. You ever been called by your full name? That's not good, is it? Andrew Warren Sizemore. like I'm small enough to hide behind anything, right? Simon, son of John. You think Peter looked up with broken eyes, broken heart? Wasn't his name, was it? Jesus had named him Peter. But he reverts back, doesn't he? Jesus reverts back to the very beginning. Simon, son of John. I remember you, Peter. I remember when I first saw you. I remember when I called you to be my disciple. I'm taking you back past Peter, past your failure. I'm taking you back to the beginning. I loved you then, and I love you now. Do you love me more than these? Commentators argue over whether, is he talking about the other disciples? Is he talking about the fishing business? What's he talking about? What Jesus is talking about is, do you love me more than anything? Do you love me more than these disciples, Peter? You claimed that you did because you said you would die with me. Do you love me more than fishing? Because I told you that if you'd come with me, I'd let you fish for men. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I think Peter said it in kind of a downcast voice. Because what he knows is, Lord, you know I love you. And here's why I think that. Here comes the third one. Do you love me? And Peter responds, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Lord, you know that I failed you. Lord, you know that I lied to you. Lord, you know that I denied you 3 times. You know that, but you know in my heart I love you. You ever been there? Jesus, you know everything. You know my brokenness. You know my sin. You know my unbelief. You know my struggles, but I love you. And I'm not going to drive you nuts with any more Greek. But it is interesting if you want to study it. Jesus asked the first 2 times in a different Greek verb for love, a deeper kind of love. The third time, Jesus asked in an unconditional kind of way. And Peter answers in a brotherly kind of way. The third time, Jesus says, do you have brotherly love for me? And Peter says, Lord, I have brotherly love for you. Jesus says, good, good. Follow me. Because you see, Jesus loves us enough to meet us in our current state. No matter how much, you may be here today and don't even want to be here. Like you think Jesus, he's a good teacher and I'm supposed to love him because that gets me out of hell. But I really don't care for Jesus. I don't have any need for him. And Jesus says, I love you right there in that spot. But I'm not going to leave you there. So you got to follow me. I love the fact that Jesus was willing to meet me in my brokenness. Somebody asked me, it seems like every time you go to seminary or you go to a meeting, you have to tell people why you think you should be in ministry. Tell me your, this, and they say it all sophisticated, tell me your call story. Like I'm supposed to have a burning bush or something, you know? Tell me your call story. And because of the planning I was doing, I said, I know that I've been called to follow Jesus into ministry because I know how much redemption it took to get me out of where I was. So I don't know what ministry will look like. There'll be days people love you. There'll be days nobody likes you. But C.T. Studd said, If Jesus be God, which we'll admit that he is, right? If Jesus be God and he died for me, then there is nothing too great for him to ask of me. So Jesus said, Andrew, walk away from your dream job. Walk away from working with the man that allowed you to fulfill your childhood dreams. And my response was, Jesus, you brought me out of somewhere so dark y'all wouldn't have even liked to be around me. And if you're going to bring me out of that and call me to this, I'm going with you. Because you see, Peter's redemption wasn't for just Peter, was it? It was for the lambs and the sheep. My redemption wasn't just for me. It was for my bride, for my kids, for my family, for the churches that I'm led to throughout the next 42 years. If the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. That's what Aunt Neat would say. Follow me. You see, I think sometimes we get our faith so messed up. We want to tell Jesus we love him three times and then we want to stay at breakfast with him. We want to tell Jesus we love him. We want to sing victory in Jesus. We want to sing Amazing Grace. We want to say the Lord's Prayer. And then we want to stay in our pews. And next week we want to park in our same parking spot. We want to sit in our same seat. And the bulletin better not look different, because if it does, I'm going to be upset about it. Jesus didn't call us to breakfast on the beach Christianity. He called us to follow and feed, to follow and tend. And I know, I'm guilty of it too. That's your job. Let's sit down and go through Scripture and determine whose job it is. It's mine, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. It says, anyone who shall follow me, this is what you got to do. Can't be a follower of Jesus and not tend to sheep. Doesn't work that way. Jesus redeems, right? And if he shows redemption, and he is God, he died, he redeemed, is there anything too great he could ask of us? Holding a thank you card from a third grade class at Welford Academy from Mr. Naaman's class. These kids said, thank you for giving our class ice cream today. And they all signed it. I don't know any of these kids, but I dare to say some of them never had ice cream before at school because their parents didn't have 75 cents. It mattered so much, they wrote a letter. I don't know the story behind this. It was given to me this morning. I'm sharing it with you. Well, what does that have to do with anything? This is a perfect example of how Jesus Christ has redeemed this church and allowed this church to make a difference in that community. See, some of us, raise your hand if you were not here before July of 2015. And I know y'all can't remember dates. That's your hand. All right, look around. Okay, now put your hands down. This isn't to put anybody on the spot, but because that's me too, right? We have a different perspective of Emmanuel United Methodist Church. I want to share with you what was shared with me this morning. I was having a rough morning. Darla walks in my office. She got this big smile on her face. What now, right? Here's what she says. She says, I can remember when there were 9 cars here for church. How many? How many today for Sunday school? 18 cars here for Sunday school. And I don't know how many is out there now. That's an example how Christ said, if you'll follow me, I'll redeem you individually and corporately. And you ready for the not so fun part? We're just getting started. Take that however you want. We're just getting started. We're taking this community over. The conviction is enough. There's too many people right here. I don't need to send you around the world to find people lost. I don't need to send you to a big city to find drug addicts and broken homes. I just need you to walk through the zip code. And that's what we're going to start doing. Because it's what we've been called to do. Because our redemption isn't so I can pat you on the back and we can keep buying ice cream. That's cute, isn't it? But that's not why we bought ice cream. I'm glad there's 18 cars in the parking lot for Sunday school. But I'm not going to keep telling you that Sunday school is an opportunity for you to grow in grace and become a better disciple until there's 80 cars in the parking lot. So maybe this is what Jesus is saying to you as I do seriously attempt to wrap up. And I'm going back to the song. Maybe he says, son or daughter, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. Maybe he's saying to you this morning, you've been set free. Maybe he's saying that, you know, all those stains you put in your life, I wiped them clean. Maybe he's saying, my child, lift up your head, because I'm not done with you yet. Get up from the fires of your past and follow me. The decision's up to us. The redemption's already been won. But now we've been called to follow, to tend, to feed, to care for his sheep, his lambs, his people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.